All right, again, I'll say welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room this morning. Today's going to be a little different. Debated whether I should do this or not, and woke up this morning very early with a lot on my mind. And most of it stems from the events earlier this week. Now, concerning Charlie Kirk in Utah and the fact that the man was gunned down for standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I think about this, and ponder about it and try to make sense of it, the more I struggle. And I wasn't sure if anybody else out there was feeling exactly the same thing I was or not. But I know this has affected a lot of people, and it's bringing about a bit of a revival in this country. And if you haven't heard, and Lord, I can't understand how anybody couldn't have heard about this, but whether you've got a cell phone or a TV, either one, you're pretty much going to get inundated by it. But this past Wednesday at a rally at Utah Valley College or University, whichever one it was, in Utah, Charlie Kirk was. And Charlie is a Christian conservative, but long story short, Charlie was making a speech or doing his student interaction thing that he does, kind of like a traveling show where he just sets up a booth, goes from college to college to college or wherever, and has open debate with people who readily don't agree with him. And that is kind of a rare thing in the world we live in, if you think about it today. And the main thrust of it all, and what really gets my attention about it, was Charlie's faith. And it was his faith, I believe, that pushed him to do this. And he believed that if you have the faith, that you can't be quiet about it, that you must go where the disagreement is and interact with people like that. Well, this past Wednesday, doing that very thing got him killed. Yes, it got him killed in the United States of America. Charlie Kirk was shot in the throat and killed for his beliefs. Now, normally this is something that we only hear from other countries, but not this week. This week, it happened right here in the good old U.S. of A. So that's what we're going to do today. I've entitled this study very shortly, Charlie and Truth for Today. And the date for today is September the 14th, 2025. So this is not a study as much as it is a little bit of time to reflect. Because I don't know if you do, but I believe doing this will help me get some closure on this and say some things that needs to be said about what's going on in this country between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And regardless of whether your political affiliation, I'm not going to get real political with this. I know Charlie did. Charlie married the two together very, very effectively. But I want to focus more on Charlie's belief and why something like this can happen in our country. And what is Truth for Today's stand regarding all of this? So I want to try to clear this up. Maybe you're wondering the same thing. Maybe you need the same closure I do. Maybe you haven't thought about it. But I want to take just one study time today, and this probably won't take very long, to kind of go through some things here and say some things maybe that need to be said. So my purpose for this session this morning, and I wrote this, with all the media attention surrounding the assassination of Christian conservative Charlie Kirk this past Wednesday, I thought it would be worthwhile to discuss who Charlie was, what he stood for, and as the COO of Truth for Today, where Truth for Today actually stands regarding Charlie's ministry, which is currently causing a bit of a revival among believers in Christ, not only here in the United States, but worldwide. I've seen huge marches in England, of all places. And in England, they're even really restricted right now as far as what they can say. In England, you can be arrested and taken away for just saying something about a particular group that is just opinion or whatever. The freedom of speech that we have in this country, folks, we take for granted, let me tell you. And it's one of those rights that we're guaranteed under the First Amendment that I don't think we really think about a whole lot, but if it weren't here, if it all of a sudden disappeared tomorrow, what would be happening in this country, believe me, would not be good. Because that means we've got to a point in this country to where this country is no longer what the founding fathers established it to be. So, let me go through a few things about Charlie. And then, since you know the situation now, give you some stats about Charlie. Very young, he was born in 1993. He started Turning Point USA, which was a Christian conservative group that supports various chapters all over the United States and probably all over the world, at high schools, colleges, whatever. So at the age of 18, he established it to give on-campus believers a like-minded home on campus. Because in so many cases, if you were a believer on a college campus today, unless you're at a Christian-based college, you're kind of ostracized a bit. At worst case, you're very quiet about it because, number one, you don't want to make any enemies. And number two, you don't want to make anybody mad. So Charlie established this foundation, so to say, Turning Point USA, to where these colleges could have all these chapters so that believers would have a common place to go and they could interact with like-minded people. So that was one of his accomplishments. Turning Point USA currently has thousands of chapters in colleges and high school campuses all across the country and, like I said, probably even in the world. Charlie also hosted podcasts, news interviews, and mainly his big thing was to go from campus to campus doing talks and debates with students who disagreed with his views either religiously or politically. How many people do you know that are even willing to talk about religion with somebody they agree with? You know, I've heard them say the big three things you usually don't want to talk about is religion, it was religion, politics, and something else. I can't remember the third one. But that's in the top three of things that you normally don't want to talk about with people, because eventually it's going to get to a point where there's going to be some disagreement. Well, Charlie welcomed that. As a matter of fact, if you were at one of his rallies and you disagreed with him, you come to the front of the line. and he would respectfully have a debate with you. And he demanded the respect, and the beauty of it is that he approached it from a Christian perspective. And he respected everybody as a child of God. Sinners, yes, but he respected everybody as a child of God. And he looked at them that way. Charlie, first and foremost, made his belief and his faith in Jesus Christ his primary declaration. That's the first thing that he would tell you right up front if anybody talked to him. And he could, I've looked at post after post after post of this man, and he could recite scripture references. He could recite the Declaration of Independence almost, and any constitutional amendment pretty much from memory. From memory. That's dedication. That is something to aspire to for all of us. He presented his faith in conjunction with his politics, as he believed that one's faith should be reflected in their political affiliation. And most of you have seen Charlie. You've probably seen him on the news. He was very good friends with most everybody in the Fox News team. Now, granted, they're all pretty much conservatives. But from every account that I've watched with Charlie, he would give anybody that wanted to debate him the respect that they deserved as a person. Now, that doesn't mean that he would condone what they were doing. And it doesn't mean that he would agree with them in their belief system. I've seen him debate with transgender people. I've seen him debate with atheists. I've seen him answer questions for people who disagreed with him. I've seen him answer questions for people who agreed with him. I've seen him do lots of things with lots of different people, but he always handled it with grace. Now, he didn't give place to the devil. Don't get me wrong. He stood for the scripture, and he stood for the truth of the scripture. And he could explain why he believed what he believed, which is something that most people today would probably come up short and been able to do, just be honest with you, if you're honest. A lot of people I know that claim to believe something, I don't know that they really believe what they say they believe, or they understand what they say that they believe. So Charlie believed in honest, open debate with absolutely anyone who wanted to engage, regardless of their religious or political positions. He respected people as persons, but would not compromise the truth of the Bible to placate anyone. He never, that I've seen, never compromised the truth of the scripture, regardless who he was debating. He placed God, family, and country as the guiding principles that grown men should adhere to in that order. Not only did he love his God and the Son of God, his Savior Jesus Christ, but he loved this country. And he loved what this country was founded on. And the basic principles that our whole governmental system is set up on, corrupted though they may be. By the age of 31, Charlie had married and had two beautiful children that he adored. His dedication to God, his family, and his country, and his organization, Turning Point USA, were what motivated him to be the best he could be. Never saw the guy without a smile on his face. He would always find a way at the end of every debate that he had with whoever he was debating with to have a smile on his face and have something good to say and to look for somewhere where there was agreement instead of just disagreement. That's what I see when I look at it. Now, Charlie's faith stemmed from his understanding that Jesus Christ was his Savior, and he acted on this based on an evangelical approach to bringing people to Christ. It's like I said earlier, Charlie didn't just believe it and sit around. Charlie believed it, lived it, and did something about it. He got out there where people did not like him, necessarily, and brought the Word of God as best he knew how. Now, I wanted to get into a little bit of where Truth for Today stands with regard to Charlie. Because some of you may be wondering, well, what? I see what's going on in the news. Where does Truth for Today stand in all this? Well, I'm going to tell you where I feel like we are. And then you'll know, and we can talk about it later on if you would like. So Truth for Today obviously also believes in standing for Christ and evangelizing to the unbelievers of the world according to John's gospel. The one difference that I had probably with Charlie is that Charlie, when he was trying to disciple people, kind of did it based on a kingdom-based Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John type of approach. But as best I could tell, I don't think Charlie really saw the difference in the Gospel of John as opposed to the other three Gospels. Now, of course, from a Truth for Today standpoint, we do. We believe that John's Gospel is the Gospel for today, for converting a person from a point of unbelief to a point of belief. That's my stand as far as Truth for Today goes. I believe that the Gospel of John, within its own proof, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, proves that Christ came to his own, and the verse 11, chapter 1, I believe, said, "And his own received him not," which tells me that his own, who were the Jews, had already rejected him as of the writing of the Gospel of John. The other three Gospels do not contain that. Now, I believe when Charlie read the Gospels, he didn't see any difference. He didn't see the dispensational differences that we see. I believe that from a Truth for Today standpoint, as far as the understanding of Scripture goes, we were probably a little ahead of Charlie because we have the keys of right division. We rightly divide the Scripture to see what is written for us versus what is written to us. I believe until a person comes to the point of belief in Christ, the Holy Spirit is not indwelling them, and they cannot reach any further enlightenment as to Paul's revelation of the mystery. So what I'm essentially saying from a Truth for Today standpoint is, until somebody comes, until an unbeliever comes to a point of belief in their life, and they say, "Yes, God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that I believe that he is my Savior, and I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead, and I also believe that I can have a resurrection based on his resurrection." Until somebody in a state of unbelief comes to that point in their life, I don't believe they can see the mystery. I believe they can read it, but I don't believe they'll ever really understand the heart and soul of it deep down. because that takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit to show somebody. I believe that. Now, you can disagree. That's perfectly fine. In Charlie's spirit, we can talk about it, and we can talk about it with respect to each other and not fight about it. But I believe that's, I don't believe in grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. If somebody wants to discuss Scripture, and I have to do this with the position that I have with TFT, I have to do this all the time. Sometimes we talk with people who we agree with. Sometimes we have to talk with people we may not agree with or don't agree with. Sometimes we have to listen to people that chew on us pretty bad. I mean, that just comes with the territory. It's the way it is. But that's what Charlie did all day, every day. You got to talk to people. And you have to do it with love, and you got to do it with respect, regardless of who it is. I believe that even though Charlie likely did not see the truth of the mystery, and if he did, I never really heard it. I've listened to a lot of what Charlie has said, not only to other people, but during speeches at Turning Point. I've listened to just a lot of what he said. And I felt like I had to be able to sit here and do what I'm doing today. So even though he likely did not see the truth of the mystery as it's put forth in Ephesians and Colossians, I believe he set an example to us all as to how to engage with people you disagree with, how to respect all people as children of God, how to love the sinner but not the sin, how to stand for the truth of the word no matter what, how men should be a good husband and a good father, and how to never give place to the devil, how to be a good citizen of the greatest country on earth, the one you're sitting in. Totally unappreciated by half of this country where we are. I believe it's totally unappreciated, the rights we have, the blessings we have in this country. We are the most blessed people who have ever lived on the face of the earth. I believe that. And believe me, I thank my God for that every day, just for waking up here. Most of all, I believe his example of how to stand up for God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what or who the opposition is. That's the biggest thing I learned from watching this man. Now, he was just a kid with an idea. But in this country, a kid with an idea can go places. And he did. So, I believe that's TFT's position on the whole Charlie Kirk thing. And I appreciate you putting up with my raving this morning, but I felt like I needed to do that, and I felt like if I needed to do it and say it, then maybe there were others that were feeling the same way I am. Whether you are conservative or not, you're an American. And if you're an American, you have to appreciate what this man stood for and how he went about doing it, regardless of whether you agreed with, what he said or not. It's how he did it that should be the example to us all, and how he stood for God and stood for his Savior, to me, it's a beautiful thing. And that's kind of where I am and where I stand for the whole thing. And I know I'm a little early, but I went through everything I wrote down. I had a much better, if I'd have got up when I was tossing and turning at 4 o'clock this morning and wrote it down, it might have been better. But this is just off the cuff, and I wanted to get that out there. I know this is a little different from what we normally do, but every now and then I think the circumstances warrant that we just take the time out, step back, and watch what's happening all around us, because we have to be in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. You've heard Dad say that. I've said that. Almost all the teachers on this, you know, in our group, almost all the teachers have said that. So, prayers today for Erica, his wife, and their two kids, and all the close friends that he had, and prayers for our nation, that whether you liked him or not or agreed with him or not, that we can at least agree that the way he went about it was amicable. And it was, he went about it, I think, in a way that God would honor. So, bow with me if you would, and we'll close and we'll get going with study number two for today. So bow with us. Father, we do thank you for this day and this time. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we enjoy in a country we don't deserve. Father, we thank you for all of those down through the past that have stood for your truth. Father, for Paul, for Stephen, for all the disciples, all those that lost their lives, hazarded their lives, that we may have this Word of God down all the way to today. And Father, for those that stand for God today, we pray for them. We pray that you would bless them and strengthen them and give them that word that we would need to hear. Father, in a world that just seems to be crumbling all around us, we pray that you would bless us and strengthen us, give us the strength, Father, in that evil day, to be able to put on the whole armor of God and to stand. And having done all, Father, that we can stand. Lord, be with us. Continue to lead, God, and bless us is our prayer today. For it's in Christ's name we humbly pray. Amen.